The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Years of growth. You see it there visibly. I mean, we had such a positive start to yesterday's show with the tribute to Mr. Armstrong and Mystery of the Ages that I thought we'd just continue in that same vein today, because on Monday, that was another big anniversary. Yesterday was the Mystery of the Ages anniversary, 40 years on, 40 years after Herbert Armstrong handed it out to those sophomores at Ambassador College back in 1985. And what you saw at the start of this video was my father breaking ground on this property 25 years ago, September the 8th in the year 2000. 25 years of history, 25 years of true education for the students that have come through here, 25 years of God's headquarters campus, God's headquarters facility, and all of the buildings and the grounds. It's something to think about, particularly when you look at the state of education today. When you compare it to or contrast it with what we're receiving or giving here at God's College and at the Academy before that, we really do try to help our students appreciate just what a wonderful privilege and opportunity this is for them to grow. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. It's a dying and dark world, and there are a lot of negative things to focus in on as we watch world events. And pray always. We've got to be armed with prayer, as Peter said. And we do have to watch this world as it dies. We've got to be honest. We're watching, we're praying, but there is hope as well. And we do have to lift up our eyes, and we do have to look into the heavens And we have to see Jesus Christ. In class this morning, I was talking about what it means to be a real Christian. There's so many fake Christians in the world today. But to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to pull the clips later for you to hear them for yourself. But Herbert Armstrong, on one of his old radio broadcasts, he was wondering if had he been out in the field, let's say, a field congregation, he wasn't working. I mean, in his case, his life was the church and the work of the church. And he worked for the church. He headed it up as the pastor general. He and his wife were the two employees early on and did everything single-handedly for many, many years until he established the college, until he graduated people that were trained in the way that he was. And then they came along into the work to support that effort. And there were more people, and that's how the work grew and expanded over the years. He wondered if he were just a lay member out in the field, and he had a job out in the world somewhere, and he had to provide for his family that way, and then, of course, went to services on the weekend and got his daily prayer and study in. He wondered if he would have been as fired up for the work and for God's truth in that situation as opposed to, you know, being in the work full time. Well, his wife reminded him that that's the way it was in the first 3 or 4 years of his life as a converted Christian. He was out in the world providing for his family. And Mr. Armstrong said, and I thought back on those early years right after my baptism, and I thought, you know, the thing that I always did in my spare time, in the morning, in the evening, after I got home from work, it was God-centered. He worked on his relationship with God. And in the course of this program, he said, you know, it's not easy being a true Christian. It's hard. You have to work at it. You have to work at getting to know God the Father and Jesus Christ. You have to work hard to follow in Christ's steps. I mean, Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for the good of mankind so that we would have hope, the hope of the gospel, the hope of God's family, God's kingdom. And that's the example that we look to and follow. And that's not easy, as I was telling the freshmen this morning. That's a difficult row to hoe. I mean, you have got to commit once you put your hand to the plow. I mean, you go forward with Christ. So many people, as was explained yesterday in that tribute, so many people just casually fell away from the truth, from God's way of life. Jesus said we have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if we do, He'll fill that appetite. He'll fill us up on God's truth. To become like Christ, as I was saying to the students this morning, I mean, there is no greater education than that. Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus at night, he said, Master, we know you're a teacher who's come from God. You've come from heaven. And to receive those instructions from the Master, how could anything in this world even remotely compare to being taught by Jesus Christ, to receiving the truth from God? You heard Mr. Armstrong yesterday talk about, you know, I hope you'll value this book. He was talking about Mystery of the Ages. We drew attention to it on this anniversary week. Mystery of the Ages, 40 years old, and yet just as timely as it's ever been. He said, I hope you'll value this. I hope you'll enjoy this book more than any other book except the Bible. I mean, what a 1-2 punch for true education. If you've got the Word of God, the Holy Bible, Jesus Christ in print, together with the story of the Bible, the synopsis of the Bible, the key that unlocks all the mysteries, including the mystery of the Bible. Mr. Armstrong said, read the Bible along with your study of Mystery of the Ages. You need both. To have the Holy Bible, think of all those authors that God inspired. that God wrote through, Mr. Armstrong said, I didn't even feel like I was writing Mystery of the Ages. I was just listening to a deposition yesterday from Bernie Schnippert while the court case was going on, the fight for Mystery of the Ages. And then he was arguing with the lawyer about whether or not, well, he said just how crazy my father is to think that these are somehow inspired writings. I mean, that's extreme in his mind. And our lawyer just said, well, don't you remember Mr. Armstrong himself saying it was inspired? Well, I guess maybe he did. These people that just sit up on their intellectually vain perch and they can divine motives. They can divine intent. They know. I mean, they're all the psychologist type. They know exactly how you're thinking and what you're thinking and why it's wrong and why it's extreme. There's a simplicity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11. And yet Paul was saying there, he was concerned that the brethren in Corinth were being beguiled by the devil and moved away from the simplicity of just following in the steps of Christ. These scholars that just got caught up into human reasoning and vanity and just so casually pushed aside Mr. Armstrong's teachings, they weren't divinely inspired. God didn't inspire them. God did inspire it. And God inspired the authors that wrote their books in the Bible. Yes, Mr. Armstrong said his wasn't on the level of Scripture. But he also said God wrote it. God inspired it. That's pretty amazing to get instruction from the master, the teacher. That's true education. That's what young people have been receiving on this campus since the fall of 2001. We broke ground on the property the year before that. Started with 38 acres surrounding the building you see behind me. And then a week later, it expanded. 120 more acres were added. 160-acre campus, give or take. And it just gets more beautiful, more productive, more filled with life, more filled with God every day. It's because God is here. It's because God is inspiring messages. God is inspiring teaching. He's inspired writings. We don't have to apologize for that. It's God's church. Christ is the head. We're in the body of Christ. And we want everyone to have such a valuable gift like Mystery of the Ages. Like my father said, if it's that important, then we should want to give it to the world. We should want to give it away freely. And that's what we've been doing ever since we won the court case, the struggle, the fight for Mystery of the Ages, the war over Mystery of the Ages. Back in 2003, you can read all about that, of course, in Raising the Ruins. But look at the educational system in the world, by way of comparison. Look at what this world is offering to young people. Look at the many lies. Look at the deception. A lot of young people are being beguiled by the devil. This is not God's world. This is from the Daily Telegraph. It's been at the back of my notes for several days. I just haven't gotten to it. It says here, educational attainment in U.S. schools has been in decline since the mid-2010s and plunged during the pandemic. It has not recovered. You've heard this before. I mean, this is just talking about schools in the world. And people just aren't interested in learning. Like I was telling the students this morning, I mean, it's not enough to just have the words on a page. You have to develop a love for learning. This is why Mr. Armstrong was pleading almost with God's people in 1985. Look, this is the most valuable gift I could give to you. It's like a magnificent summary of my life's work, my 53-year ministry. And you have to value this. You have to see how precious it is, how wonderful it is. You need to read it. You need to read it again. It's so easy to just casually brush it aside or move on, you know, give it one quick read and then move on to the next thing. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, of the making of books, there's no end. I mean, there what do you focus on? That's what I've been emphasizing in class. How much of a blessing is it to not just, you know, have all these books and booklets, but for God to put a focus on what's most important? He'll do that if you let Him educate you. He'll do that if you humble yourself, if you're teachable. Matthew 11, 25, look it up. Read it. If we get off our high horse, if we humble ourselves, God can begin to make us wise, not like the wise of this world, but like Him. He can teach us how to think like God. It says here, scores released by the U.S. National Center of Education showed that the reading ability of 13-year-olds fell even further in 2024, hitting a low last recorded in 1994. So we're going in the wrong direction, even when it comes to just basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Who's behind this? Satan knows. If he can start you out in life where you hate learning, well, how are you ever going to get excited about God's truth? We get people writing in response to the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy documentary, which we may finish up with today. We'll see. I'm already behind a little bit. But we got people telling us, hey, can you give us the full video? Because I've got a lot of friends that would be interested in this, and they're just not into reading. They just won't actually read the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. Satan is behind this. Satan loves it when we're just dumbing our society down. He loves it when you're going in this direction, away from even the basics of simple reading. It says, even if it's only half as bad as those test scores suggest, it's unbelievably terrible. It's hard to overstate how bad it is, it quotes this expert, this educator. It's hard to overstate just how bad it is right now. The Telegraph says here, America is losing its brain power and it's jeopardizing its place in the world stage. I mean, it really and truly is. If you have vision, if you see the big picture, it's a national security threat. Once the world's education superpower, the U.S. is slipping down global rankings. With this decline comes a massive threat to productivity, economic growth, and America's national security. Yeah, that's right. What happens when the whole nation is dumbing down? Eventually I'll get to some of the clips from that ceremony at the Bible Museum on Monday. President Trump and a lot of the evangelicals talking with great optimism about the future of the country and a religious revival and getting back to the Bible. But how are you going to get back to the Bible if you're not even interested in learning, period? Satan is blinding our minds. Alan Bloom wrote a book back in the 80s. We use it in Principles of Living. The closing of the American mind. The mind of America is closing. This is an urgent problem. And yet, what do you see in education today? Well, you see plenty of funding. You see billions and billions of dollars going into it. But you also see things like COVID and just all kinds of other factors. The broken home, of course, the biggest. And our students are the ones that suffer. Our young people, our children. And those are the leaders of tomorrow. What does that say about society? Where we're headed? Separate research by Stanford economist Eric Hanishek, found that children in 13 states had now fallen behind the average student in Turkey when it came to math. We're falling behind Turkey. One intriguing theory is that smartphones could be to blame. So here comes the debate. Well, what are the causes? Maybe it's the smartphones, the technology, social media. But why are Americans just much worse? Are we much more enslaved to technology and its potential negative effects than other countries? I don't have a great answer to that. That's part of the problem. We have all these problems and there's no solutions. There's no answers. Mr. Armstrong started out in Mystery of the Ages saying, these are the biggest questions, the most important questions in life. And with this book, you can have your mind open to the truth. You can understand mysteries that have been hidden for ages. I read this this morning. Maybe I can take you over there. 1 Corinthians 2. I've been going to this chapter a lot for classes, for forums and such. 1 Corinthians 2. It talks about a mystery that had been hidden. There's lots of references to that in Paul's writings. You see it in 1 Corinthians. You see it in Colossians 1. You see it in Colossians 2. Here in chapter 2, Paul says, verse 2, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's what I wanted to focus on. Jesus Christ. The life, the death, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Christ. I mean, that's at the heart of true education. You get that, as I told the students this morning, and you will be brilliant. You will be educated. You will have understanding and wisdom. How precious is it to... In the case of the freshmen, let's say, to just come to college and immerse themselves into the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. One of his names is Emmanuel. You see that in Isaiah 7. Emmanuel means God with us. God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the angelic realm, the creator of human life. If God is with you, I mean, that opens the door to everything. And yet, look at how many people look down upon the truth of the Bible. I mean, they talked about it a lot at the ceremony on Monday. The Bible this, we got to bring the Bible back. We got to get into religion. We've got to have a revival. And I'm all on board with that. As I say, I'm going to get to those clips eventually and take you through the teachings of the Bible. You'll find that it doesn't quite square with a lot of denominations. Why? Why is that? Why are there so many, as I said yesterday, why are there so many different interpretations? Why are there so many denominations? All the seminaries, all the church schools even, the secular schools and universities. And God says in Hosea 4 that we're being destroyed for lack of knowledge. How could we have a lack of knowledge in these last days when we're living in the information age, where there's been a knowledge explosion? Paul was determined. He was determined, verse 2 says, to preach the message that Jesus Christ preached, to tell you about God with us, Emmanuel. It says here, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I didn't come to you with these words of scholarship and worldly wisdom. I came to you in the power of God, demonstrating the Spirit of God, the mind of God. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or becoming perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. I mean, what has the wisdom of this world accomplished? Has the world become a better, safer place? I mean, look at this tragedy on that train in Charlotte. This poor woman, 23 years old, coming home from work, hopping on the train, as millions do, and then she's stabbed from behind in the neck with a little pocket knife that connected to a main artery. And now video footage is showing that she's looking around. She doesn't even really know what happened. And then a minute or two later, she keels over into the in a pool of blood, her own blood. She didn't realize she was about to die. She was terrified. She knew she had just been attacked. And then it's just shocking to see five black people sitting around her and not one person getting up to see if she was okay. It's just every man for himself. And President Trump is right. I mean, he's holding up a picture of the woman yesterday, I think it was, and a picture of the murderer with a rap sheet, of course. It just goes on and on and on. All these judges that fight for the criminals. They fight for the criminals. You have Mika going back and forth with Tom Homan on their show, The Morning Meltdown. And I mean, she's fighting for the illegals. She says to Homan, you're disappearing the illegals. You're the bad guy. It's an upside down world. And Paul confronted that in his time, 2,000 years ago. Verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We speak the truth of God, the wisdom of God, in a mystery to the world. It's a mystery. It's a mystery even to the Christian world. It's a mystery that's been hidden for ages. It's the mystery of the ages, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is what we've done. We have crucified the Lord of glory. We glory in worldly wisdom. We think we're a sophisticated, advancing society. We fancy ourselves as deeply religious. And we crucified God with us. We crucified him. Well, that God is returning to this earth. And soon. And we're praying, thy kingdom come. We're praying that God would hasten that blessed event, so that trains and everything else in our world can be safe and peaceful and uplifting and beautiful. Just like this beautiful campus, 25 years, we sure do need God's help, guidance, direction, and protection every step along the way. Because if you're doing God's work, you're going to be fighting against resistance at every turn. Mr. Armstrong certainly encountered that, whether it was building the college or just releasing Mystery of the Ages. I mean, there were men plotting to get rid of that message even before he was dead. They were plotting to change the doctrines of the church in the mid-1970s. And were it not for the fact that God brought Mr. Armstrong back to life, they would have succeeded. His heart had failed him. He experienced heart failure in 1977. A lot of people in Pasadena thought, oh, now the old man's out of the way. We can do what we want. God had another plan. But the thing of it is, when God brought him back to life, It was for 7 or 8 more years. And then he died at 93. He released Mystery of the Ages. He said, look, this is for those who will value it. Actually, it was Mr. Tkach, the successor, who said that. And as 2 Thessalonians 2 brings out, God removed him, took him out of the way. And then the mystery of sin, the mystery of iniquity emerged. And those traitors, those insurrectionists, they tried to blot out the mystery of the ages. They tried to literally blot out this book, Mystery of the Ages. And everything you saw in that cold open about this campus the past 25 years, I mean, in so many ways, it revolves around Herbert Armstrong's ministry and Mystery of the Ages, those teachings in Mystery of the Ages. And that's why it has thrived. That's why it's grown, even though we're still a little flock, even though there's still just precious few supporting this work. We have the mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We actually look to the Bible. We look at what it says. We read it. We study it. We love it. We can't get enough of it. We're never full or satisfied, spiritually speaking. We hunger and thirst for the Word of God, for the truth of God, for the righteousness of God. Now, humanly, it's easy to lose that hunger. And we have to keep going to God to ask Him to give us a strong spiritual appetite. And of course, the more you do that and the more you go to the Bible, the more you look into the Bible, the more you love it, the more hungry you will be. You've got to blow the dust off the Bible and read it for yourself. Read about the Bereans in Acts 17. Paul, it says there at the start of that chapter that he came in and he was preaching. Again, preaching Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his teachings, the crucifixion, the resurrection. There's a verse, I think it's verse 3 in Acts 17, where it says, Paul came to them preaching from the Scriptures. He was preaching from the Holy Scriptures. And then later on, it says about the Bereans that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if what he was saying is true. They were proving all things. They were holding fast. You have to look into the Bible yourself. You cannot, if anything this show demonstrates on a daily basis, you cannot take what someone says about any given subject as the absolute truth. And that's true in the world of religion as well. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And we're living in a world where truth is being blotted out, or where individuals have their truth. That's the way they see it. You've got Van Jones on CNN saying, how dare so-and-so bring up race, this black man that killed the white woman. You can't even bring it up. And then there's others saying that crime is not a problem. Crime is a problem. And why is it a problem? What's happening to us? What's happening to our world? What's happening to our educational system? This Telegraph piece says, by nature of being a rich country, lower income households in America may have more access to phones and screens than in other nations. The proportion of 15-year-olds from low socioeconomic backgrounds with access to 3 or more digital devices is higher than the OECD average. We've got devices galore. They're everywhere in the house, even for poor people in the United States. That program Mr. Armstrong gave back in the 60s where he said, you know, would I be as fired up about the truth and the work if I wasn't working right at headquarters directly? And he went on to say, I think I would. That's the way it was early on for me. I couldn't get enough of God's truth. I couldn't get enough. And then he said in that same program, look at what so many people are doing with their lives. Wasting it away watching television for 4, 5, 6 hours a day. I mean, this was back in the 50s and 60s when, you know, television was a relatively new technology. And Mr. Armstrong said it's a marvelous technology. But if it wastes your life, if it gets in the way of true education, it'll destroy you. What would he say today, you know, all these many years later, where, as you just heard, there's devices, there's cable, there's music, there's movies, there's TV still, and TV's still doing well. Now there's streaming, there's podcasts. I mean, there's information everywhere. And of course, there's a lot of vile, filthy content in every direction as well. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's just blotting out true education. He's blotting out basic educational training for many people. He doesn't want you to get anywhere near the truth of God. He doesn't want you to be a diligent studier of the Bible like the Bereans were. He certainly doesn't want you to prove all things. You know, my father makes the point about when I left Ambassador College, I was just 19, I wasn't even baptized yet. But I got this incredible job at the library organizing Mr. Armstrong's sermon cassette tapes. And it inspired me, and I started to read more of his literature. I mean, I had read it growing up. But I think what happened at 18 and 19 is I got fired up because I was just immersing myself into the teachings that God gave to Mr. Armstrong. Yes, he did inspire them. And my father makes the point in that prophet. He says, when the church split happened, one reason my son was able to break free from Ambassador College and all the friends that he had there was because of the truth. Because he was proving the truth, in some cases for the first time. And it got me excited. I flip through the envoy from back at that time and think, you know, where are all of these people? What happened to them? They were at AC getting the same instruction I was. They had more ability, probably deeper education than I did, so many of them. It's the truth that set me free, pure and simple. God's truth. And when the Tekachas came out with all of their deceitful takes on church teaching, saying we're changing this, but it's not really a change, and Mr. Armstrong kind of taught this too, they were lying. And I recognized it. I saw it because I was reading and studying the truth. It's a simple formula. There's a simplicity in Christ, but you get away from the truth, the true teachings, and Satan will beguile you, as 2 Corinthians 11 says. I mean, after that verse about the simplicity, I mean, Paul goes on and talks about this great counterfeit religious system that has even a false Jesus, a different Jesus than the Jesus that's revealed in the Bible. You have to know the Bible if you're going to get to know Jesus Christ. And the beauty of it is, I mean, anyone can do it. As I was telling the freshmen this morning, just read, study, and immerse yourself into the truth. And you can actually get to know the master, the teacher, and you can actually draw near to our Father, God in heaven, and you can actually receive a true education, a righteous, godly education, an education from God Himself. I've got to leave some extra time for the end of today's show because the last installment of the United States and Britain in Prophecy documentary series is 14 minutes in length, so that'll take you right up until the end of today's program. That's all we have time for. Sadly, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll see you tomorrow.
In the Bible, God makes amazingly specific promises of national greatness to the descendants of Abraham. He kept those promises. The modern descendants of Abraham, the British and the Americans, receive those blessings. It's a fact of history. Those promises were prophecies, forecasts of the future. And if those prophecies are true, could the other prophecies of the Bible be true? Could the prophecies of punishment be true? The Bible is full of prophecies, and almost all of those prophecies are about the descendants of Abraham. God promised to shower blessings on the modern descendants of Abraham, but he also promised to send curses on those descendants if they forsook God. Britain and America have clearly forsaken God. One of America's greatest presidents was able to recognize this fact. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We have forgotten God, and the curses are just as automatic as the blessings. In the Bible, the term "in that day" refers to the modern time period. Notice a prophecy in the book of Micah and what it says about what will happen in that day. "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Eternal, that I will cut off your war horses out of the midst of you, and I will destroy your chariots, and I will cut off the cities of your land, and throw down all your strongholds." God gave these nations power, and now he is taking away that power. Why? Because we took the blessings and then turned our backs to the God who gave them. National sin is the cause. National destruction is the effect. How bad will this crisis get? How far will America and Britain fall? The Bible says these nations, these descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, will collapse. What a fall! The greatest nation in the world, the greatest company of nations in the world, America and Britain, fallen. Bible prophecies don't just say that our sin-sick nations will collapse. It says they will be destroyed. Millions of people will die in riots, in race wars, from invasion, from weapons of mass destruction. Yes, it can happen. The Bible even specifies which powers will rise up to strike down America and try to take its place as the world leader. The Bible says it will be Assyria, the same empire that destroyed Israel anciently. The modern Assyrians are known as Germany. The Bible says that Germany will unite 10 nations and resurrect Europe's Holy Roman Empire. It will unite with the power of the Vatican to create a new European superpower. The Bible says God will allow it, God will use it to punish America and Britain for their sins. K Can you imagine America and Britain imploding? Can you imagine another superpower rising up and invading our ruined countries? Well, it is getting easier to imagine every week. Our nations are terminal. They seem to have a death wish. Yet the one thing they will not try, the one thing they will not do, is admit that they are wrong. They will not admit that their own sins are causing their own destruction. But if you are brave enough to face the Bible and to face history, you must admit this is the real cause of our crisis. And what will happen if America and Britain fall? What will happen if a European superpower tries to take its place? The world will erupt in World War III. Nuclear, electronic, biological, chemical weapons of mass destruction unleashed. Does that sound impossible? The same Bible that forecasted the British Empire and the American superpower 4,000 years ago says that is exactly what is about to happen. A global conflict even worse than World War. In fact, Jesus Christ himself prophesied this. Jesus Christ himself said that unless it was shortened, it would extinguish all life. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. The fall of America and Britain will be a disaster for the Americans and the British, but also for the whole world. Millions, even billions, will die. The world will explode in violence. It will be a global holocaust, the final result of wicked human nature, the logical end stage of the evil human condition. This is a warning. This is an alarm. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? God warns us through prophecy that our sins are fast increasing, and now the day of reckoning is here. In this fearful, awesome atomic age, World War III will start with nuclear devastation unleashed on London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, New York, Washington, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, all without warning. We are God's chosen people, Israel. Think what that means. Chosen not for favors while we defy our God, but chosen for service we have failed to perform. We should shout for joy at the discovery of our true identity, and we should be brought to repent and to turn to God. The sevenfold intensity of punishment now soon to come upon America and Britain is simply the prophesied Great Tribulation. It will be the most frightfully intense punishment and time of trouble ever suffered by any people. Yet you need not suffer it. You individually can choose to be corrected, to voluntarily submit to God before God lets this horrendous chastising strike. If you come to real repentance, realizing how terribly wrong you have been, if you can see yourself as you really are, as a rebellious, wrong, evil person, and if you can surrender to the loving, all-merciful, yet all-powerful God and make an unconditional surrender to him through Jesus Christ. If you will do that, God promises that you will be protected from this time of great suffering. This terrible suffering is for a purpose. It will prove what depths of wickedness human beings are capable of. It will prove that we cannot live when we do things our own way. It will prove that we need God. The fact that God gave national blessings shows that the God of the Bible is the God of love. The fact that he gave a spiritual blessing, a Savior, in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, shows he is a God of love. And yes, the fact that God punishes America and Britain and all human nations shows that he is a God of love. Punishment is correction. It means that God is teaching human beings. It means that for all our ingratitude, for all our forgetfulness, and for all our sin, God has not given up on us. That same Bible, that same God that prophesied America and Britain and the throne of David and the sea gates and national power and everything else, that same Bible shows that even those who die when Britain and America fall, even those who die when World War III rips Europe and Asia and the world apart, even they will live again and have an opportunity to experience a world reborn and ruled by the great God. There is hope. There is no hope in our own superiority, our own wisdom, our own virtue. There is no hope in our economies, our governments, our militaries, our ideologies. But there is hope. There is hope in believing the God of the Bible. There is hope in repenting. There is hope in turning to God. The modern world is facing a terrifying crisis. It is time for you to choose where to place your hope. There is one book that made promises and kept promises over the course of thousands of years. There is one book that explains the world you see around you in far greater accuracy and detail than you imagine. Read that book. Decide whether you will prove it and whether you will believe it. The decision is now yours. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Bible prophecy might be ignored by the modern Americans and British, but it does not ignore them. Thousands of years in advance, it prophesied their existence, their rise, and their fall. But only God could explain the meaning of the prophecies he inspired, and he would do it only in his time. But in the 20th century, his time came. God revealed the meaning of long misunderstood scriptures. He did it through one man, Herbert W. Armstrong, who published the biblical truth about the Americans and the British in a book requested by more than 6 million people.
The United States and Britain in prophecy.
You can read it and compare it to your Bible. Request your own copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong.